how the sometimes mysterious ways of the Fed are impacting our economy. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. Later today, the Fed will release minutes from its latest meeting that will give us a more detailed look into the central bank's thinking about how the economy is doing and where we are going. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, Mark.
So what are we looking for? What kind of clues might we get from these minutes when they come out?
Well, the minutes will probably show the thinking at last month's meeting was, hey, the timing is getting better for an interest rate hike. The Federal Open Market Committee, that's the committee that actually votes on whether interest rates should go up, has already issued one statement after the July meeting, and that statement said short-term risks to the economy were fading.
There's other things that are part of this dance between the Fed and the markets of trying to signal its intentions. We also have interviews and speeches that Fed officials give. What do we learn from those?
Yeah, some of those speeches are paving the way for higher interest rates. The president of the New York Fed, William Dudley, told Fox News the Fed could raise rates next month. He says the labor market is strong, and you can see that just by looking at last month's jobs report. But there are other things that the Fed looks at, like inflation, and the Fed has said it wants inflation to hit 2% before it raises rates.
And the indications were not quite there, and there are questions about what it would take to get there. I know it's always tricky because the Fed has to, you know, apply the brakes not too soon, not too late. Where are things at?
Right. Yeah, it's tricky. You know, we found out yesterday U.S. consumer prices were unchanged last month. The cost of gas actually fell by 4%. And the president of the San Francisco Fed, John Williams, said the Fed should raise its inflation target, and that could make a Fed rate hike even less likely in the near future.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks very much. A new study traces a giant plume of methane gas over the Four Corners, where Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and Utah meet. The research draws a link to leaks from oil and natural gas fields, and it's raising new questions about the American energy boom and the risks from emission of methane. Gigi Duban explains.
As natural gas makes its journey out of the ground through pipelines to your stovetop, there are leaks everywhere. There's even a sinister name for them. Fugitive methane emissions. Where do they come from?
Storage tanks where hatches are left open, valves that malfunction, flanges that aren't tightened as part of a routine maintenance program.
Mark Brownstein is VP of Climate and Energy at the Environmental Defense Fund. He says emissions-wise, natural gas still beats coal.
But it's not at all clear that in the near term those advantages hold up, given what we know about today's leak rates.
Colm Sweeney, co-author of the Four Corners methane study, has good news. Most emissions came from just a few leaks.
Quite possibly, there's just one place or one processing plant or one well that we need to go to solve the majority of the leaks.
Which makes an industry fix a lot easier. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down a bit in global trading. The UK shares are down 0.2%, worse in Germany, down 0.9%. Wall Street futures indicating a slightly lower open. The world's most famous cartel is probably OPEC, dealing in oil, but there's another cartel that holds sway over something you may be having for breakfast right now. The Federation of Quebec Maple Syrup Producers controls nearly three-quarters of the world's sweet pancake joy juice. It has long been powerful, but things are starting to change. There are lots of parallels between the oil cartel and the maple syrup cartel, including controversy over production quotas, a strategic reserve, black market dealings, and growing competition from the U.S. All that is in a news story by Jen Scarrett, who covers agriculture for Bloomberg News and joins us from Winnipeg. Jen, explain why there's a black market for maple syrup and why producers are selling there.
Well, there's a lot of frustration with producers in Quebec. And part of that is looking at, you know, their counterparts in states like Vermont, where there's no limits on how much syrup they can produce. In Quebec, it's very different. They have a quota system. So the Federation kind of determines how much someone is able to produce. Given kind of the backdrop of all of this, some producers have decided to just do exactly that, sell it on the side for extra cash. And, you know, there's people that just don't agree and say it should be an open market system. And even the government earlier this year came out with a report saying the current system is causing people to sell on the black market. And it's a very heavy and flexible system. And a lot of producers are frustrated.
So as you mentioned, American production of maple syrup is on the rise in states like Vermont and New York. How much pressure is that putting on the cartel in Quebec?
There's a lot of untapped, pardon the pun, potential in states like Vermont. Production's increased quite a bit, and there's even more that could really come into production, trees that could be tapped for maple syrup. So Quebec is pretty concerned about protecting its market share. They want to still have that control on global trade. So increasing quota became a decision for two reasons. Number one, the growing U.S. production, and number two, the growing frustration from producers who are saying, like, why can't we expand?
Is it a good time right now to be a tapper? How's demand for maple syrup around the world?
It is a pretty good time. It's a lot of it has to go to the demand for natural sugars, things like honey and maple syrup. Consumers are looking at that and saying it's a little bit healthier than say, just a refined sugar. And also the marketing, the Federation has done a pretty good job of kind of expanding their sales to countries. Japan's a good example that uses maple syrup in savory dishes, and global demand keeps rising. So there's definitely a lot of people say there's room to grow that market, and increasing production isn't going to, there's going to be a home for that additional product.
Okay, Jen Scarrett with Bloomberg. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And finally, Univision is buying Gawker Media for $135 million. Hulk Hogan had sued Gawker for posting his sex tape, winning a $140 million judgment that drove the online company into bankruptcy and led to the sale. It came out that Hogan's legal fees were being paid by tech billionaire Peter Thiel. Thiel had a long grudge against Gawker Media, which ran a story revealing he was gay in 2007. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.